This is the Montana News Network's Talk Back. Join the conversation at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309 with producer Nick Christensen and your host, Peter Christian.
The views and opinions expressed on Talk Back are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
Hey, welcome everybody. Good to have you along and welcome. You made it. It's Friday, May the 8th, and glad to have you along this morning here on Talkback. I am Peter Christian. That's Mr. Nick Christensen over there. Good morning, Mr. Nick.
Good morning.
Wow, we have some unfortunate news to report about a fatal bear attack that happened in Glacier Park. And evidently an individual was hiking and the bear attacked and the bear killed the individual. And so I believe that's the first fatal bear attack in quite some time.
I think in more than 25 years.
Right.
But yeah, the national park officials, this is from our friend Dennis Bragg, national park officials say the victim was discovered Wednesday afternoon about 2.5 miles up the Mount Brown Trail, and that the body was found approximately 50 feet off the path in a densely wooded area. Mm. While an investigation is ongoing, authorities confirmed that the injuries sustained are consistent with the bear attack. And, this marks the first bear-related fatality in Glacier since 1998. As a precaution, a lot of those routes have been closed, including paths like to Snyder Lake, Mount Brown Trail, several connecting routes. Wildlife experts are currently monitoring the area for bear activity to ensure there's no ongoing threat to the public. They haven't obviously released the identity of the hiker yet to allow for family notification.
Sure.
But visitors are urged to respect all trail closures and remain vigilant while recreating in bear country. Very, very sad story. So.
It is a sad story. And I think anybody who's ever gone to Glacier National Park, especially people who live in Montana, are well aware it's wild country back there. And you want to make sure that you let the bears or any other animals know that you're around. I mean, they're taking bear bells or talking loudly or walking in groups and making lots of noise, because the one thing they want to do is avoid you. And so, that's what you want to do when you go to any national park or going out just in the woods around the western Montana. You want to make sure that your presence is well known to the wildlife.
Yeah, and I know safety warnings are in effect today at Yellowstone National Park because there was another dangerous encounter with the grizzly earlier this week. Park officials now confirm that two male hikers, ages 15 and 28, they were airlifted to a hospital after being injured by a bear northwest of the Old Faithful area earlier this week.
Wow.
They believe the incident involved a female grizzly protecting her cubs. So as a result, several backcountry campsites, fishing spots, and trails in that area are closed to the public. Rangers are urging visitors to stay out of marked closure zones. Officials remind everyone that Yellowstone is also bear country.
Yeah.
Always carry bear spray, stay alert, and give wildlife plenty of space. So it's nothing to mess around with.
Well, I'll tell you, my wife, Lorna, anybody who knows Lorna knows she loves the outdoors. She loves to hike, and Yellowstone is perhaps her favorite place. She loves to go to the falls. If you've ever been there, they have that huge staircase going up and down. Have you ever been there? She goes all the way down and then takes her time coming back up. So anyway,
as we all do, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I want to know what's going on in your life, ladies and gentlemen. It is open phones.
It's not open phones. So starting in 1 minute, we're going to take a break. But we have Henry Kriegel from AFP. He's going to join us for our first segment here, and then at 8:30, Michelle Binkley will join us. She's running for House District 85. And then at 9 o'clock, we'll have Attorney General Austin Knutson. So we got a full show today of guests.
We certainly do. And we hope that you will be a part of it. All you have to do is, if you want to be on the air with us all over the state of Montana, just give us a call at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. And we deeply appreciate all the folks who've been calling from all over the state in this last week as we have gone statewide. And we encourage more people to call us on whatever the topic might be. So we're going to come right back after this quick timeout on KGVO. So please stay with us. We'll be right back. Support for Talk.
Dennis Bragg with your weekend weather forecast. Cloudy and warm weather as we go into the weekend, but get ready because it's really just a tune-up for what could be considered our first real hot weather coming next week. Highs will reach the mid-70s Friday and Saturday, but then into the mid-80s by Sunday and continue to hit that mark into the first part of the week. Overnight lows will be warmer as well, right there in the 40s. Winds could pick up later in the day Friday with gusts up to 20 miles per hour. Now looks like we'll have more sun than clouds Saturday and Sunday.
Wounded Warrior Project helps post 9/11 veterans and their families realize what's possible with support and resources that bring warriors together and empower them to become stronger, both inside and out.
It's possible to begin healing,
to get the help you need,
to find peace.
And as each warrior's needs evolve, so do we, because these last 20 years are just the beginning. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Welcome back, everybody. It is a Friday on Talk Back, and we have special guests all during the show today, starting with Henry Kriegel. Henry, good morning. Henry is with Americans for Prosperity. Henry, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, Peter. Great to be on the show with you.
You bet. Welcome. And for those who don't know, tell us a little bit about Americans for Prosperity, if you don't mind, please.
Yeah, not at all. We have a presence in all 50 states, and we have chapters in 37 of them. The chapter here in Montana has been around since 2011. We're all about getting government out of the way of people's success, because we do believe that ordinary individuals are capable of doing extraordinary things when those barriers are removed. And that means translated into get rid of unnecessary regulatory barriers. Let's lower taxes. Let's unleash innovation that is inherent within each individual. Let them pursue the American dream as they see fit. So these translate into very specific policies that we advocate for during every legislative session here in Montana every 2 years, and of course full-time over there back in D.C.
So what are some of those prospects that you're looking for? I know that President Trump instituted some pretty good sized tax cuts, and when he is no longer president, that may change.
Well, we got the working families tax cuts, which the president engineered and which we all are enjoying, as we experienced April 15th for those who filed taxes on time. It was a great victory. It prevented the largest single tax increase in U.S. history. It simplified the tax code. It was a big victory that Americans for Prosperity was glad to kick in. On a national level, over $20 million in this advertising campaign for it. So that was a large victory for Americans and a big victory for my organization. Since then, we've been engaged through our partner organization, Americans for Prosperity Action. On a federal level, we are engaged in the races for the U.S. Senate and the House. And here in Montana, AFP Action has endorsed, as of yesterday, announced its endorsement of Kurt Ame for the U.S. Senate, which is a critical endorsement. Why? Because we have no guarantee of a policy majority in the House of Representatives. And the U.S. Senate is at risk. And once again, a little over 1 million people in the great state of Montana can help shape federal policy by electing a policy champion like Kurt Ame, just like we did in 2024 with Tim Sheehy.
All right, and so as we move forward with that, obviously Steve Daines is retiring, and there's a rather crowded field there. So what are you doing to help Kurt Ame be more visible, if you will?
Well, we just announced earlier this week, we also announced the $3.25 million ad buy, not just for Kurt Ame. Kurt Ame is just a part of that. In six battleground states, AFP Action is engaged with New Hampshire, North Carolina, Ohio, Michigan, Iowa, and of course, Montana. So what does that translate in terms of our support here in the state of Montana? We will do what is our comparative advantage, and that is we will be having our grassroots associates and our volunteers all over the state knock doors, winning votes at the door, one by one, canvassing for Kurt Ullman. That's the biggest thing we're going to do that no one else does better than us. In addition, we'll do our aerial campaign, our TV ads. We'll have radio ads for certain. We'll do mailers and digitals and that kind of thing, differentiating our candidate, Kurt Ullman, from any opponent. Because Kurt has a proven track record of public service and success. As you might recall, Peter, that as revenue director under Judy Martz, he had played an integral role in cutting in the largest tax cut in decades, roughly 37% off the top rate. And that was a major victory. So in addition, he served as budget director under the under Governor Gianforte during his first administration. And he has been appointed twice as U.S. attorney by Donald Trump because he fights against crime. He wants to ensure public safety and fighting against violent crime and drug smuggling and all that. And he's an effective guy. He's got a track record of success. That's the big differentiator for Kurt Ullman. And he's one of us. He was born in Montana and raised in Montana.
Now, Henry, with such a big field of candidates, how do you guys decide as an organization who to endorse?
Well, we do interviews. You know, Kurt Ullman came to our offices, and our top staff who are involved in political campaigns around the country interviewed him thoroughly on his policy knowledge. We have to determine first and foremost, is Kurt Ullman aligned with our policies? And yes, he is, not just in word and rhetoric, but also in his history and in his track record of success. Secondly, they have to prove that they have a pathway to victory, which in this case, Kurt does. And thirdly, we've got to be able to make a difference and help him win. And lastly, of course, is his public persona in alignment with the Americans for Prosperity and, in this case, AFP Action brand, which is, hey, let's positively promote policies that enhance individual liberty and freedom. But let's not get into the mud and character assassinate and that kind of thing. So that's the criteria we use to evaluate a candidate. And Kurt comes out with flying colors. We think the man can win. And this is a critical seat. Again, one more time, Montana can play a huge role in shaping the policy majority in the U.S. Senate, which can be incredibly important in that many experts think that the U.S. House of Representatives is in jeopardy.
Well, Henry, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it. Thanks for aligning with Americans for Prosperity and sharing the information with us today. We appreciate it, sir.
Well, absolutely. Great to be with you, gentlemen. Have a great rest of your morning.
And the same to you, sir. Thanks so much. And we do have another special guest coming up pretty quick. Michelle Binkley is going to be joining us, running for House District 85, and running for re-election, in fact, in Ravalli County. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
We will do open phones for about 10 minutes here. So if you want to get a quick call, I know Jeff's on hold. We'll have like 6 or 7 minutes. So give us a call if you want before Michelle joins us at 8:30.
You bet. 406-721-1290 is the number. We'd love to hear from you. And we're going to come right back with more of the Friday edition of Talk Back right after this.
Get expert.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Unused prescription opioid pain medicines can spell trouble. They can spell risk if taken by someone they weren't prescribed for. Harm if accidentally taken by a child or pet. or overdose if they're not used as directed. Safely dispose of opioids before they can hurt your family. Find a drug take-back option such as medicine drop boxes. You may find these in your community at local pharmacies or police stations. Visit www.fda.gov/drug disposal.
Oh, Nick, you are taking me back. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you along on this Friday, May 8th edition of Talk Back. And it is open phones right now. And Jeff is up first. Jeff, good morning. What's on your mind, please?
Hey, Peter. Before I start, I'm just so glad you had the bumper music back. That was such an integral part of Talk Back early on. So I'm happy for you and for everybody that that's back on. I couldn't help but really like what Harry said, or Henry said earlier. You know, yesterday, when I think it was yesterday, you had David Beatty on. And every time somebody would bring up something, I brought up the fact that the Republican Party is conservative and he's not. He started bad-mouthing people like Art Wittig and Dan Bartel and Jesse Ramos, who runs the local chapter Americans for Prosperity. And it was one of those things that, you know, everybody who challenges his bona fides as a Republican were the enemy and right-wing, hardcore, far-right, when in actuality, he's just a rhinocrat. David Beatty, it's just a rhinocrat, a Democrat in Republican clothes. He's running in Ravalli County. He has to run as a Republican in order to get elected. And as a 28-year veteran, I don't throw that out there for bona fides. I'm just saying that I've worked for a lot of colonels. I was enlisted the whole time, and I worked for a lot of colonels. Some of them are good leaders. He's not somebody who I would consider an exemplary figure in that. He spent a lot of time in academia. He didn't actually spend a lot of time leading. So I don't see his military service, while honorable, I'm not going to disparage it, as relevant to what he's doing now. So kudos for Henry being on. Kudos to Jesse. Kudos to Art. Kudos to Dan. Kudos to Keith Regier, all the folks out there who are working to keep the Republican Party not pure, but honest. It's not a litmus test. It's an integrity check. And I applaud that. Thanks.
Well, let me ask you something. Do you think the Republican Party should be a bigger tent, or just kind of just make sure that you check your ID at the door?
You know, the Republican Party should be for what conservatives stand for, which is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I think life is the most important thing. If you don't have life, you can't have liberty. The next is liberty, and liberty is different from freedom. Liberty is when other people don't impose any limits on you. Freedom is when you don't impose limits on yourself. So it's I don't worry about whether or not the Republican Party should be a big tent. I say stand for what you stand for, and it's apparent that people in Montana agree with that, and by a large percentage want that. So all you have to do is be honest, have integrity, and the people will come. I'm not a tent person. I'm an integrity person.
Good to know. All right, Jeff, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. The phone lines are open, by the way, 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309.
For 3 minutes.
Yeah, for the next 3 minutes. And we have a special guest coming into the studio. Michelle Binkley is going to be joining us here in the studio here in just a few. But right now, if there's something else you'd like to talk about, the phone lines are open. Again, 406-721-1290. All right, so I was just, I just would love to know what's going on with you guys. It's open phone. So if there's an issue that you'd like to talk about, just in the next few minutes anyway, before we get Michelle here in the studio, we'd love to hear from you.
I got a story that came up. Sentencing was handed down in Montana for a massive eagle trafficking ring recently.
Yeah, I heard about that.
A Texas man who trafficked bald and golden eagles was sentenced Tuesday, May 5th. To 5 years of probation and restitution in the amount of $77,500. John Patrick Butler, he pleaded guilty in December 2025. They killed eagles on the Flathead Indian Reservation elsewhere. In total, approximately 3,600 birds were killed, including eagles. Then they illegally sold the eagles on the black market for significant sums of cash across the U.S. and elsewhere. The killing of eagles is fueled by individuals willing to purchase the eagles on the black market. So John Patrick Butler was one of those purchasers, and he requested the killing of specific types of eagles.
One thing I've learned about that is a federal crime, by the way. That in the federal courthouse downtown about 2 years ago, there was a big trial with some folks who were involved all over the state of Montana, not just the reservations but all over, in getting illegally obtained feathers and other things, and they received some pretty hefty sentences. So.
Yeah, the U.S. Attorney's Office prosecuted the case, and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service conducted the investigation. So, yeah, I mean, it was, I remember this story happening, and glad to see that we finally got sentencing. And, yeah, hopefully we don't have anything like this again, because that's just awful.
So. You bet. And the punishment should be severe enough to be a detriment to anyone to keep them away from that, to keep them from repeating that offense.
So, well, I don't know. You said 5 years of probation and restitution in the amount of $77,000. You be the judge if that's enough or not enough, or, you know, too strict, not strict enough. Again, 3,600 birds were killed. So,
okay, we're going to come back here in just a few minutes. Michelle Binkley is going to be joining us here in the studio this morning, running for re-election in Ravalli County. So stay with us. We've got more of Talk Back on the way here on this Friday, May the 8th. We'll be right back after this quick timeout. Stay with us. Talk Back is brought to you.
Dennis Bragg with your weekend weather forecast. Cloudy and warm weather as we go into the weekend, but get ready because it's really just a tune-up for what could be considered our first real hot weather coming next week. Highs will reach the mid-70s Friday and Saturday, but then into the mid-80s by Sunday and continue to hit that mark into the first part of the week. Overnight lows will be warmer as well, right there in the 40s. Winds could pick up later in the day Friday with gusts up to 20 miles per hour. Now looks like we'll have more sun than clouds Saturday and Sunday.
Teachers are dynamic leaders, shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Achieving this takes skill and expertise. They're tireless explorers, creatively discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, experimenting, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, and connecting with each other. Leading by example. Experience the unique joy of helping students thrive. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready to begin? Explore teaching at teach.org. A campaign supported by the U.S. Department of Education, teach.org, and 1 million teachers of color.
Women experience unique life stages such as pregnancy or menopause that can increase their risk of developing cardiovascular disease over the course of their lifetime.
But here's the good news. Women have the best resource. We have each other.
Visit goredforwomen.org today to learn more.
Hey, Hey, we are back on Talk Back, and we're privileged to have with us here in the studio Michelle Binkley. She's currently representing House District 85, as she has for the last 4 years, and you're running for re-election. Is that correct?
Well, I currently am not the legislator for 85.
All right.
But I was in 21 and 23.
Okay.
And I'm running again.
Good.
So yes,
good.
I am running again.
So you took a little break.
I took a little break.
All right. Tell us about Michelle.
I moved here with my family in 2002 in the Bitterroot Valley, House District 85, because I wanted my boys to grow up in Montana, where we can have the freedoms to do the things that we have. We've got access to the Forest Service. We can fish. We can hunt. We can shoot. We can live.
Yeah. In other words, you have freedom.
We have freedom.
Right. Right.
And I just wanted that for my family.
Okay. And so how will working with the Montana legislature help that from your perspective?
By being able to maintain those freedoms, not allowing out-of-state values coming in and taking reign and overstepping the bounds that Montanans have. We are an independent-minded state, and we have the freedom to stay that way. We don't have to allow other people to make those decisions for us. And I am running for legislature to be that voice, the voice of the people, not the voice of a party, not the voice of outside ideals.
Mm-hmm. So there's no cabal behind you saying, hey, here's what you're going to say, here's what you're going to do.
Exactly.
All right.
None.
Good to know. We do have a caller on the line right now. Skip is waiting to visit with you. Skip, you're on with Michelle Binkley. Go ahead, please.
Oh, wow. I was kind of, thank you for getting me on. I just was taking a mouthful of coffee and you caught me. Peter, Michelle Binkley, when she was in the, legislature for two sessions, Ravalli County, was pretty proud of having her there. She was on appropriations and she was also on, I think it's law enforcement was one of the committees, and it was amazing some of the things that she got involved in. And then the governor put her on his special task force for mental health, and she was traveling around the state where they were deep diving into different mental health situations that are in different parts of our state. They have different flavors of problems in different parts of our state. She's rather expertise at that, plus her background in banking. I'm telling you all this because here in Ravalli County, for a long time, people know Michelle well. And personally, I was happy she was one of the people that had a rope of communication between our county government and our state legislature. But I wanted to ask you, Michelle, if you could elaborate on the kinds of things that, for instance, right now in those same areas, we have problems that are growing, especially with the amounts of money that we get back to our counties for things like law enforcement. Especially when I go to those budget meetings, and I hear what the sheriff has to go through with different situations, and how the legislature might be able to help out. What kind of committees especially with your banking background and understanding how appropriations works, which is behind the scenes so important, what can you do to help Ravalli County out on what committees would you be best so that we can get something here in Ravalli County?
We got about a minute before a hard break, so let's jump into those real quick.
Well, thank you, Skip. I was honored to serve on appropriations. Appropriations is the most important committee at the legislature because the legislature is there to balance the budget. And it's very important to sit on those subcommittees and listen to the directors and hone in and actually critically go through line by line deciding where to make cuts and where to keep it.
We're going to come up. We're coming up against a hard break here, and Al is waiting to visit with you as well. All the other phone lines are open at 406-721-1290. Our guest here in the studio, Michelle Binkley, running again for House District 85. So we're going to come right back and take Al's call and hopefully get yours as well right after this quick timeout. Support for Talk.
Anyone can choose to make a difference. You can help people succeed, rebuild after disasters, protect the environment, or feed the hungry. Not only will you make a difference for others, but for yourself. You can earn money for college, learn career skills, and make friendships that last a lifetime. Make a difference. Choose your future. Choose AmeriCorps.
Ooh, perfect for a candidate, right?
Yeah, I love it.
Welcome back, everybody. Peter Christian here, Nick Christensen taking your phone calls on TalkBack. And our guest here in studio is Michelle Binkley, running once again for House District 85 in Ravalli County. And we wanted to go ahead and complete our answer to Skip, so please.
Oh, thank you. So as I was saying about the Appropriations Committee, we go over line by line. The department heads come in with their asks, and we actually review it. And we want to make precision cuts, like a surgeon. You can't just go in there and start hacking away, because you don't want it to bleed out. You want to make sure that you're trimming where it can be trimmed, so that you can come up with a full, complete package. That's a conservative package that will pass the House and the Senate and ultimately have the governor sign it.
You want to make sure it's bipartisan so that, you know, both parties have a say. But in the end, it's the governor that makes that decision to sign it or not.
That's true.
All right. We have some more callers waiting. Al is on the line right now. Al, good morning. You're on with Michelle Binkley. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I'm looking at Missoulian came out with a voter guide, and I'm looking what you had to say in there. And my question is, one of the things you said here, that I am dedicated to downsizing bureaucracy and government where we can. That's wonderful. Can you give me any examples of something that's you want to cut or downsize? And before I hang up, you said that you do not support a sales tax. I'm glad you said that. I'll just hang up and listen to your answer.
All right. So specifics, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Well, I'm just trying to think here. Cutting out on bureaucracy. Well, with bureaucracy, you have red tape. You have long lines. If you want to accomplish anything, you have to do a study. You have to make sure it meets the mustard. You have to go through that entire process. So let's just hone it in.
Okay. All right. Let's get another call in. This is Steve. Steve, good morning. You're on TalkBack with Michelle Binkley. Go ahead, please.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Michelle. A couple quick questions for you. Lou Jones and bunch of other so-called Republican legislators killed a number of judicial reform bills last year that would have allowed the judiciary to better represent the values of probably 85 to 90% of Montanans. I wonder, would you have voted with Lou Jones against those judicial reform bills last session? That's my first question. My second question is, one of the things I was greatly disappointed by a representative in my neck of the Bitterroot was his lack of support for a constitutional amendment to provide hunters and anglers the right to fish and hunt in Montana, as we've seen done in Utah and other places where they're trying to protect hunting and fishing rights that are coming under attack by quote-unquote conservationists, animal rights activists in Washington and Colorado. I want to know, and I would like to know on the record, if elected, will you support a constitutional amendment to protect hunting and fishing rights for Montana? So two questions. Would you have voted with Lou Jones and that group to block the many judicial reform bills that were introduced last session? And second question, will you support a constitutional amendment to protect hunting and fishing rights in Montana?
All right, good questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Michelle, it's all yours.
I'm going to start by answering the second question first. That's an easy question to answer because it's one I already did. Those came up in the session in 23, and I voted for them. I believe in protecting our hunting and fishing rights. Moving on to the
If you don't mind me just jumping in here, when you live in Montana, one would think that hunting and fishing would be one of the reasons why you moved here in the first place or why you settled here in the first place. Mm-hmm. And so it would make sense that I'm having a hard time understanding why someone would want to limit those. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I live up in the mountains. I live halfway between Hamilton and Darby. I'm surrounded by Forest Service on three sides. I may not personally go out and hunt. I don't go out camping because I live there. I don't need to. But my family, my husband did. He doesn't so much anymore. And my boys grew up doing that. And I believe in ensuring those rights for those of us that live in Montana and in that district. That district is made up of hunters and fishermen, and
that's why a lot of them moved there.
Exactly.
Right.
And so I fight to ensure that stays that way.
Let's talk about the Lou Jones question, if you don't mind.
Sure. Well, it's hard to say what I would have done last session because I wasn't there.
Right.
I didn't read the bills. I don't know what they were about. So I don't want to just blanket answer that question. When I'm presented with a bill, I listen, I read it. If I'm not in the committee that hears the bill, I look to see who's on, how the committee voted. I look to see who voted which way. And if I have questions why they voted a certain way, I go to them and say, hey, you sat in this committee, you heard the public comment, why did you make this determination? I listen to their answer. Sometimes I review the committee. I actually go back and watch the video. I listen to the comment. That's how I formulate my decision on how I vote when that bill is on the floor. So I may not have sat there and listened, but I get in contact with those who did. I also listen to people who contact me in my district.
Right.
Hey, Michelle, this is important to us. This is what we needed. If it's for the commissioner, if it's for the sheriff's department.
Yes, indeed. And we're going to come right back. Our guest here in the studio is Michelle Binkley, running once again for House District 85. And we come back from the break, we'll get Jeff's call. The number 406-721-1290. We'll be right back.
In a world of complications.
When I was diagnosed with Hodgkin lymphoma, I didn't know it was a blood cancer. It's one of more than 100 different types, and they're all treated differently, and the symptoms can look like other things, so it could be hard to diagnose. I had a fever for weeks. I was so tired all the time, and I didn't feel like eating. This can feel scary, but if you know what to look for, you'll know what to tell your doctor. And you can get in touch with Blood Cancer United. They were there for me, and they can be there for you, too.
Go to bloodcancerunited.org to learn more.
Did you get a call or message that mentioned Social Security that made you feel threatened or scared? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, press you for personal information, or demand instant payment. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Don't fall for it. Hang up, ignore them. Report this criminal activity to oig.ssa.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
A lot of toe-tapping going on in here.
Oh, definitely.
Welcome back to Talk Back, everybody. Peter Christian here, Nick Christians, and taking your phone calls. And, of course, Michelle Binkley is joining us here in the studio this morning. And Jeff is waiting with a question. So, oh, that's right. You wanted to go ahead and complete your answer to the last question.
Yes, I have to get back into thing. Before I make a decision, I thoroughly listen. And I listen to the important voices. I'm not listening to leadership. I'm not listening to the party. I'm not listening to the caucuses. I'm listening to the people. And that's how I make my decision.
All right. Good to know. Let's get Jeff on the line. Jeff, good morning. You're on Talk Back with Michelle Binkley. Go ahead, please. Jeff, your call is breaking up, sir. Okay. Yeah. Hang up and give us a call back. Yeah. 406-721-1290 is our number. Of course, our guest here in the studio is Michelle Binkley. All right. So, let's talk a little bit about you. You've got brought lots of notes with you. So what are some of the things that you wanted to tell our audience about you and your views?
I wanted to tell the people that we have a choice. In Montana, we have a choice. Our primary elections, that's our time to choose who represents us. We make those decisions, not the parties. In other states, those primary candidates are picked by the parties. In Montana, we're a citizen legislature. That means anyone can run for office. And that's a beautiful thing. Because we can sit there and we can be an armchair quarterback, or we can jump up, pay our $15, and run for office.
So now you've been in the legislature before, so you have experience, and you're running for the same seat again. What was the impetus that said I need to go back in here? I'm not done yet.
Just to go back and make sure that our voices are heard, not caucuses, not party bosses, not outside of Montana influences. Making sure that Montanans are making the decisions for Montana.
Now, you've been in the legislature, so obviously you've seen something that has been threatening that, or else you wouldn't be running again.
Oh, definitely.
And where's that threat coming from?
It comes from all over. It comes from everywhere. It comes from your neighbor sitting next to you on the floor.
Sorry, Jeff, we ran out of time with Michelle.
Go ahead, please.
Yeah. It comes from the leadership. It comes from Representative Binkley. You were placed on this committee to be a voice for the speaker. The speaker expects you to vote on this bill. The speaker expects this of you. The speaker put you on that committee, and the speaker can remove you.
Wow.
So what do you do? That is intimidation.
Wow.
And that happened. And that is why I'm running, because we need people who are willing to weed through it and actually stand up. Now, I may have agreed with Mr. Speaker, but obviously on this particular issue, I did not. So do I go along with the Speaker, who is in charge of the party at that level, Or do I do what I know is right and vote for my constituency?
We have about 2 minutes, and I want to give you an opportunity right here to talk to your constituency and say, why should we vote for you again?
You should vote for me because I am willing to say no. I'm willing to say yes. I am not afraid to do what is right. I'm not afraid to stand for the people. I'm not afraid to sit down with a member of another party and listen to them and decide what we have in common and what we don't. The same as I do with my own party, because we do have disagreements. We need to have disagreements. The only way that you can make sure that your stance is solid is by listening to disagreements and honing in why you believe what you believe.
So listen to learn, right?
Exactly.
Right.
And being willing to stand up, because there are core values that you must stand for.
How can people contact you or donate to your campaign if they want to do that? We have just less than a minute.
I have a website. It's Binkley for Montana, BinkleyForMontana.com. You can email me at Michelle, MICHELE, at BinkleyForMontana.com.
Great. Thank you for being with us. We appreciate it. And best of luck to you.
Thank you so much.
All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back after the top of the hour, we'll be visiting with Montana's Attorney General, Austin Knutson. Well, I'm sorry. Oh, the crime report first. Thank you.
Austin,
I keep forgetting it's Friday. Yeah, absolutely. We'll have the crime report, and then we'll be visiting with Austin Knutson and taking more of your phone calls in the 9 o'clock hour with Austin. So stay with us. We've got more coming up on Talkback right here on KGVO. Thanks for joining us. And again, thanks to you, Michelle.
This is the Montana News Network's Talk Back. Join the conversation at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309 with producer Nick Christensen and your host, Peter Christian.
The views and opinions expressed on Talk Back are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's hour number two of Talk Back on this Friday, May the 8th. I'm Peter Christian, Nick Christensen, producing Talk Back, taking our phone calls, your phone calls this morning. And we are privileged to have with us
Matt Jennings.
Matt Jennings, our Missoula County Attorney. Matt, good morning, sir. Our traditional crime report for this time of the week. What's going on, sir?
Hey, thanks, Peter. Busy week in Missoula County. We filed 20 new felonies this week, and we had a lot of violent crimes, unfortunately. We had 8 crimes of violence. Only 2 of those were family violence, which is kind of interesting. Usually about half of our offenses are domestic violence of some sort. And 3 of those were non-family violence, and then 3 were sex assault cases. Unfortunately, this week, all of those sex assault cases involved children. And in fact, we actually have a jury trial going on right now of an alleged rape against a teenager. And we take those so seriously. We've made leaps and bounds in how we've handled reports of sexual violence, especially with young people, in the last decade, and we've got a whole team that's really dedicated to making sure that we get justice for those victims in the community. And so next week I'll let you know how this trial is going. I think it's going to go into early next week. And then we had 1 endangerment crime that was related to driving activity. We had 6 property crimes, which is a little bit of an upswing over recent weeks. And then we had 4 drug crimes, but those were only crimes where it was only drugs. What we find is, frankly, almost all of our offenses are related to drugs and alcohol. If we didn't have methamphetamine in this community and if there wasn't alcohol in relationships, we'd probably see about 75% of our crimes drop off our board. And so those are really tough issues that society has to deal with, of trying to prevent crimes and knowing what recipes lead to that violence. But sometimes we're powerless to do that. We only get things after they occur. We are kind of on pace for a year of slightly lower criminal activity in Missoula than we were having a couple years ago. We had a real crime spike a couple years after COVID, and things have leveled out a little bit. And so that's really nice to see. Our law enforcement in this community deserves a lot of credit. And there's a lot of other partners that really lead to reduce crime, and that includes our schools and social workers and healthcare providers and others that are really trying to make sure that people are stable before something goes off the rails.
Hold on, Matt. Nick, please.
I was just going to ask Matt. I've had a handful of cases lately of violent crimes occurring at the Poverello Center, our shelter here in Missoula. Is there anything that your office does that focuses on, you know, that area? Or, I just kind of seeing an uptick there, I guess.
Yeah, you know, Nick, we've seen the same, and we've actually talked about that in our office. And, look, some of these are delicate issues because some people hear what I'm about to say and they think that we're targeting folks that are vulnerable and are unhoused, but I actually look at my career being focused mostly on serving people that are indigent and poor. A vast majority of the victims that we see come through our office are people of color. They are economically unstable or they're homeless. And I would say probably half of the felony jury trials I've ever had in my life have victims that are homeless. And so I consider my professional career being dedicated to the most vulnerable people in our community. What's hard about this, though, Peter and Nick, is that, well, probably 95% of the folks that are unhoused in our community are well-intentioned folks that are struggling with issues like brain injuries, drug, alcohol abuse, trauma, things like that. There's a small subset of unhoused people in this community that are very predatory, and they actually make the conditions on the streets extremely unsafe for those other unhoused people. And so we really try and sift through what's going on, but there are some folks that basically hang around the Poverello Center that are victimizing the rest of the folks that are trying to get back on their feet. And that really ticks me off, and we prioritize those cases because we actually see some real miracles come out of that facility of people that need a little bit of help and stabilization, and years later they're doing well. But they're not going to do well if they end up getting hurt or victimized or having drugs pushed in their face. So those are big community issues that we need to deal with, and we need to balance in this community the compassion that we have for the unhoused while also recognizing that there are some people out there that are actually trying to victimize and hurt those other folks that are vulnerable.
Matt, so sorry to cut you off. We only have 10 seconds left before a hard break. Thank you for the report.
You bet.
Bye. Right. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Austin Knutson coming up.
Hey, Boo.
Dennis Bragg with your weekend weather forecast. Cloudy and warm weather as we go into the weekend, but get ready because it's really just a tune-up for what could be considered our first real hot weather coming next week. Highs will reach the mid-70s Friday and Saturday, but then into the mid-80s by Sunday and continue to hit that mark into the first part of the week. Overnight lows will be warmer as well, right there in the 40s. Winds could pick up later in the day Friday with gusts up to 20 miles per hour. Now looks like we'll have more sun than clouds Saturday and Sunday.
When I deployed, I didn't realize that even the air we were breathing was dangerous. Veterans like us are now eligible for new VA care and benefits based on when and where we served. Apply today. Visit va.gov/PACT.
Welcome back to Talk Back Friday edition, and we are privileged to have with us Montana's Attorney General Austin Knutson on the phone with us. Austin, good morning, sir, and welcome back.
Good morning, gentlemen, and good morning, not just Missoula anymore. Good morning, Montana.
You bet. And so, as is our custom, we like to give you the first segment of the show to talk about the things that you're working on that you want folks to know what your office is all about, that's going on right now.
Sure. Well, there's always lots of stuff going on at the Montana Department of Justice. I mean, obviously, we're a law enforcement agency primarily. We do have a lot of other functions. We got a Police Week event coming up. National Police Week is next week. That's a big one for us. Like I said, we've got a big law enforcement presence at the Montana Department of Justice. We'll be doing that at the Capitol on Tuesday the 12th. I suspect the thing that's on most people's minds is Gallatin County and what's going on with my office in Gallatin County. Several months back, the county attorney in Gallatin County put out a policy that frankly was illegal. In Montana, we have a law on the books that says all law enforcement agencies will cooperate and share criminal justice information, and that's a defined legal term. Well, the county attorney down in Bozeman decided on her own that ICE, Federal Immigration and Customs Enforcement,
was not a legitimate law enforcement agency and that therefore Gallatin County would not be sharing law enforcement information with them. Well, that is against Montana law. And part of my job as Attorney General is to exercise supervisory control over all the county attorneys. And look, guys, I don't do that lightly. I'm a former county attorney from Roosevelt County. That's my home county in northeastern Montana. These are elected positions. I have tremendous respect for the county attorneys and for the work they do. But when they start getting overtly political and dabbling into areas that they shouldn't be dabbling and frankly, violating Montana law, I'm not just going to let that go. And so under Montana law, the attorney general has pretty broad supervisory authority over the county attorneys. It's certainly not used often, but this was an instance where I felt like it was appropriate to use it. So we did that. The county attorney down there didn't much care for that. She's now hired outside counsel. I'm sure the county commissioners love the budget crunch that's put them in. But they've filed a petition with the Montana Supreme Court arguing that I don't have the authority that clearly I do under state law. But that's where we sit right now. We're going to let this go to the Montana Supreme Court and see what they have to say.
Now, in your dealings with the Supreme Court in the past, I know that there have been some difficulties there. Do you think this is a clear-cut case that they would hopefully decide in your favor?
Well, I mean, it's easier for me to say yes, right? But I've been disappointed by the Montana Supreme Court before. But, I mean, I'll read you the statute, and it's quite clear. This is Montana Code Annotated 2-15-501, and it's the general duties of the Attorney General. It is the duty of the Attorney General, and then you go down to sub 5, to exercise supervisory powers over county attorneys in all matters pertaining to the duties of their offices. That's pretty clear to me, guys. The county attorney down there is acting way outside of her wheelhouse. She's brushing against violating our state's sanctuary city prohibition laws that we've been dealing with here in Helena as well. But we're gonna defer to the state Supreme Court and hear what they have to say.
All right, hey, go ahead, Nick, please.
Yeah, I know another topic you wanted to talk about, Austin, is your support for the Trump administration's repeal of the Biden-era anti-gun policies. Could you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I sure can, Nick. Thanks. So if your listeners don't know, I mean, I'm a pretty prolific gun guy. I mean, firearms are my hobby. I'm an ammunition reloader. I'm a hunter. I'm a competitive shooter. The Second Amendment is not something that I just give lip service to. So last week, I was invited to come out to D.C. real quick. It takes a lot to get me to that town. I really dislike being there. But when they tell me, hey, come over to USDOJ, we're going to roll back a lot of the really onerous Biden-era ATF rules that, frankly, were just put in place to make a bunch of law-abiding citizens in America felons. You start talking about banning bump stocks. You start talking about banning pistol stabilizing braces. You start talking about messing with the engaged in business rule. Literally all the intent of that is to make millions and millions of law-abiding gun owners in America suddenly criminals. So we had sued over a lot of these rules, but the Biden administration had put in place. Trump administration last week announced they're going to roll back a whole bunch of these rules. There's probably more coming, more rollbacks coming. But I think this is a fantastic start. I think Rob Sicotta, who just was confirmed by the U.S. Senate as the new ATF chief, is going to do a great job. I've gotten the opportunity to get to know him, spend some time with him, and I think he's going to strike the right balance here between protecting individual rights and law enforcement, and that's exactly what we need. So excited to be part of that.
All right, and as you move forward with that, are other states doing the same thing?
Well, this is on the federal level. I mean, we're always fighting against the blue states, right? I mean, I spent a lot of time fighting against California, fighting against Hawaii. In spite of some very clear U.S. Supreme Court cases, they just keep trying to pass, frankly, woke panacea gun control. And we're in the Ninth Circuit with those states. Unfortunately, I'm in a situation I have to fight those things because we've got Montanans who travel to those states. But I also have to worry about the Ninth Circuit. So unfortunately, we still see a lot of this garbage coming out of the blue states. Take a look at Virginia. I mean, look no further.
Gotcha. Hey, we're coming up against a hard break here in just a moment, but the phone lines are filling up for you as they always do, Austin. And we're very, very grateful that you're willing to take phone calls. Nancy, Al, Steve, and Susan are all lined up to talk with you. And again, our guest on the phone is Montana's Attorney General, Austin Knutson. And he's going to be with us until 10 o'clock this morning, taking your phone calls at area code 406-721-1290. You can also call 1-800-568-5309. We're going to come right back and hopefully get your phone calls and get more from our Attorney General, Austin Knutson, as he's talking to us from his office in Helena. We'll be right back after this quick timeout on TalkBack.
Montana State News Network.
I'm Dennis Bragg. Rangers sorting out the details of their first fatal bear attack in Glacier National Park since the late 90s. They found the body of a missing hiker from Florida on Wednesday afternoon in Yellowstone. Some trails still closed after that grizzly attack Monday, which seriously injured two young hikers. Rangers confirming it was a sow with two cubs that was involved in the encounter near Old Faithful. This story is a case of a road rage incident going so far off the rails it's actually leading to a federal prison sentence. Tracy Taylor reports the details.
A Billings man has been sentenced to 18 months in federal prison after illegally possessing a firearm during a traffic dispute. Federal prosecutors say 41-year-old Matthew Slemmer pulled a gun on another driver during a confrontation in January of 2025. Court documents say police later found a 9mm handgun inside Slemmer's vehicle after he admitted it was there. Prosecutors say Slemmer was prohibited from possessing firearms because of a permanent protection order issued in 2024. In Billings, Tracy Taylor, Montana State News Network.
Senator Steve Daines in China on a big trade mission this week. He may be keeping an eye open for overall energy issues as well. He's been discussing the growing demand for power in the U.S. this spring, not just for Montana coal, but other sources of power as well.
What we need is more, they call it baseload power. That's just another phrase for reliable power instead of intermittent sources of power.
Dane says all of the sources could prove valuable given the forecast demand for power, especially from those data centers.
The current forecast in the United States is we're going to need somewhere between 50 and 80% more energy in 25 years than we currently consume today.
We've had a number of stories about the growing interest in micro-nuclear power as well, with projects being discussed in recent months in Wyoming, Idaho, and at the Malmstrom Air Force Base in the past few months. This is the Montana State News Network.
For more on these stories and others around Montana, download the Montana State News app.
As a parent, you said you'd never give up the convertible.
Look, the van even has its own vacuum.
You said you'd never stop listening to your music.
Do your happy dance, do your happy dance, yeah. That's right.
You said you'd never schedule your life around a stuffed animal.
Nobody panic. Bun Bun is still at daycare.
You said you'd never give in to demands.
Two kids' meals. And a chocolate shake.
And never put them in harm's way.
I'll be right back, little man. Just gonna pop in the store for diapers.
But never happens. And no amount of time is okay to leave your child in a car by themselves.
Long line today.
Mm-hmm. Temperatures as low as 60 degrees can be deadly for children left behind. So always bring them with you every time you park the car. Stop. Look. Lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us on this Friday edition of TalkBack. Peter Christian here and Nick Christensen taking your phone calls, producing TalkBack. Our special guest on the phone is Montana's Attorney General, Austin Knutson. And folks have been lined up to visit with you, Austin. So Nancy's up first. Nancy, good morning. You're on with Austin. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, morning, boy. Good morning, Attorney General. And I am so privileged to speak with you. You don't know how I feel about this, or maybe you do by now, this immigration fight. And I just want to thank you so much for not giving up and fighting against the county attorney, this Crowley. You are in the right, and you have my total support. And these people were brought into our state illegally. They have no rights. NGOs brought them in the dark cloak of darkness, and we've been forced to maintain and take care of these people. And I'm just so happy that we have you to put up such a wonderful, great, and fierce fight. And the other thing I wanted to mention quickly, I am very disturbed over the recent state Supreme Court ruling about development in our national parks. I'm sure you heard the story of the California couple who were building their home in Glacier Park, and the Supreme Court recently sided with them. And this is going to open up more development in Glacier Park and Yellowstone, and I'm really upset over this. I don't want to see this. Do you know if there's any action being taken to rescind this Supreme Court ruling? And thank you so much, and God bless you. And Montana absolutely loves and supports you. And you have a great weekend. And I'll listen off air to your response.
All right, go for it, Austin, please.
All right. Well, Nancy, first of all, thank you. I appreciate the support. The immigration thing in Gallatin County, and it's not just Gallatin County, it's all over the state. I mean, frankly, we've tried very hard to be aggressive about this, to work with the Trump administration that I think has correctly sealed the southern border, finally. I've said this before, but I can tell you folks, in 4 years of Joe Biden's administration and just flinging the southern border wide open, our fentanyl seizures in Montana skyrocketed. I mean, this is just not long division. This is what happens. Montana law enforcement fentanyl seizures during the 4 years of Joe Biden increased by 20,000%. That's math. So we know that this illegal immigration issue is tied to cartels. I can tell you, as the chief law enforcement officer, that's a big part of what's going on in Gallatin County. There definitely is a need down there to deal with these individuals. They're not all just here looking for the American dream. A lot of them are here doing very nefarious things, and we need to empower ICE to do their job. We need the county officials, the local officials, to cooperate and work with those agencies. I don't have any authority over local sheriffs. I don't have any authority over local police departments. But what I do have authority over is the county attorneys. And when a county attorney's office puts out a policy that says, we don't believe that federal immigration and customs enforcement is a legitimate law enforcement agency, and we will not cooperate with them, at that point, I do have authority over the county attorney. So I think this is pretty cut and dry, but I do appreciate the support. As far as the house in the national park, Nancy, I'm familiar with that case. I did see the headline, but I'll be really honest with you. I didn't get a chance to read it in depth. I don't think that was probably the state Supreme Court, because the state Supreme Court would not have any authority over a national park. I suspect that had to come from a federal court, but I don't know that for sure. I need to look into it. I don't like to talk about things that I'm speculating about. So That's on me. I got to get some more information about that case.
Okay. So Al is waiting with another call for you, sir. And Al, good morning. You're on with Austin Knutson. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Mr. Knutson, I always love to listen to your opinion on things. My question this morning is on the Democrat organization, Southern Poverty Law Center. If you could please explain what is the claim to do, and what has it been charged with? I think 11 indictments by the U.S. Department of Justice. I'll hang up and just listen off there.
Okay, Austin, please go ahead. Got about 2 minutes.
Yeah, so Southern Poverty Law Center, SPLC, they've been around for decades. I mean, I can remember hearing about those guys when I was in college. They're a nonprofit organization that purports to put out a list of, you know, suspected terrorist groups and domestic terrorist groups operating in the U.S. The problem is certain Democrat administrations have taken their word as gospel, and we've now found out that the Southern Poverty Law Center is a scam. They were literally funding the Ku Klux Klan so that they could say
the Ku Klux Klan exists and we have to collect money from you donors to fight the Ku Klux Klan. I mean, it literally is that bizarre. So this is a function of US DOJ's regulation over nonprofit organizations. I suspect that we'll probably see some tax code violations, but this is an organization that is fake and was doing some pretty bad stuff, including actually funding terrorist and racist groups here in the U.S. So I think they've been exposed, and this is high past time.
All right. Again, our special guest on the phone till 10 o'clock this morning is Montana's Attorney General Austin Knutson. And we have Susan and Jeff and Nick's already on the phone with someone else. Several other phone lines open if you have a question or a comment for our Attorney General, Montana's top law enforcement officer. Just pick up the phone and give us a call, 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. And we're going to come right back and take some more phone calls and find out more with Austin Knutson, our Attorney General, right after this quick timeout here on KGVO on Talkback. Stay with us.
Thinking about retirement? Make sure a My Social Security account is a part of your plan. A My Social Security account gives you secure access to your personal earnings history and benefit status. You can find out if you're eligible to receive benefits, compare retirement benefit estimates at different ages or dates, view spousal benefit estimates, and more. Plan for your future. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount. Social Security. Securing today and tomorrow.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
75 years of research.
75 years of policy.
75 years of opportunity.
75 years of freedom.
This is 75 years of the Muscular Dystrophy Association.
Join us at mda75.org.
Hey, this is Talk Back for this Friday, May the 8th, and joining us on the phone right now, Montana's Attorney General Austin Knutson, and folks lined up to talk with you. Susan is next. Susan, good morning. You're on with Austin Knutson, our Attorney General. Go ahead, please.
Hey there, Austin. This is Susan Rennell calling from Missoula. Today and in Helena, we have graduates getting pinned as first lieutenants with the ROTC program. And I wondered, and I'm headed to the one that's in Missoula, few of them, what do we need to be concerned with the amount of demonstrations that sometimes are 13,000 No Kings people that are completely blocking the streets in Missoula, and I don't know if they do that in Bozeman or anywhere else. Do we need to be concerned because Memorial Day is coming up, and we are going to have 12 wreath ceremonies, and I am actually concerned that protesters will show up on Memorial Day. What do you, as the Attorney General, do about that? And do you think there's any cause for concern? And I'll listen out there.
Thanks for the call, Susan.
Hey, Susan, great to hear from you. So the quick answer is we have not heard of anything. So the first answer to your question is what can I do about that? I mean, honestly, not much. The only place that I have any law enforcement function over those sorts of things is on the state capitol complex. And that's actually a fairly new thing. The Montana legislature only gave the highway patrol that law enforcement authority over the Capitol complex just last year. So whenever there's a demonstration or a public protest or whatever, they have to get a permit from the Capitol complex. And you will see Montana Highway Patrol members up there, officers, just, you know, making sure people are behaving and keeping the peace and not breaking the law. All those other locations around the state, I mean, that's going to be your local police departments or your local sheriff's offices who have primary law enforcement jurisdiction over those events. Now, what I will say is I'm in charge of the state fusion center. That's our state intelligence sharing center that every state has since September 11th, 2001. And those organizations, those places keep their ears open for intelligence. And, you know, usually if we find out there's shenanigans being talked about online or possible protests, violent protests, we will usually have some kind of a heads up. I have heard of nothing about Memorial Day, so I would tell you I think you're going to be fine.
Now, are there misdemeanor shenanigans or felony shenanigans, or is one about the same as the other?
Well, I mean, obviously with the State Fusion Center, we're not focused on the misdemeanor stuff. This is intelligence gathering and sharing from the feds and between the states, where we're looking at dangerous stuff. Case in point. There's a big motorcycle rally in Red Lodge every year,
right?
And very often we have motorcycle gangs that are coming to that. That's become a big rally, and a lot of times we have the larger criminal organizations in some of those motorcycle gangs, and that's the kind of stuff that we're keeping an eye on. That's one example, but that's the kind of stuff that we keep an eye on through the Fusion Center.
Gotcha. Let's get Jeff on the line with a quick comment or question. Jeff, go ahead, please.
Hey, good morning again. Good morning, Austin. Always great to talk to our state attorney general. Recently, I think just this morning, the announcement came down that the Virginia Supreme Court has struck down the really ridiculous redistricting effort there. So, and then in Tennessee and Alabama, I believe, there were raucous, I mean, you know, standing on tables shouting state troopers in their faces, one black guy calling a white state trooper boy, which if it had been reversed would have been, headline news, but it was nothing there. And it brings to mind two things. First of all, we only have two congressional districts, so it doesn't really seem to be a huge issue for us. There's some gerrymandering going on. The last redistricting was a bit contentious, but it's not much to do about nothing, but not all that significant for us. But are there any implications for looking inside the state and redistricting for state legislature that might be coming out of this? And a larger question is, have you partnered with all the other state attorneys general on exactly those issues that all the states have with the federal government?
Jeff, we're coming up against a hard breaker. I want to give Austin plenty of time to answer the question you asked. So we'll do that when we come back from the break. Our guest on the phone, Montana's Attorney General Austin Knutson, 406-721-1290 is our number. This is Talk Back.
Worried about... If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba...
Please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check NHTSA.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is our shared heritage, but today we're divided, except for our love of wildlife and wild places they and we call home. We are closer than you think. Learn more at defenders.org.
Hey, it's the Friday edition of Talk Back. Peter Christian here, and Nick Christensen taking your phone calls. Our special guest, Montana's Attorney General Austin Knutson. And if you wouldn't mind dealing with Jeff's questions, please, sir.
Yeah, Jeff, great questions. I mean, first of all, glad to see the Virginia Supreme Court did the right thing here. Virginia really shoved that gerrymandering thing through really in the dark of night. Quite questionable, and apparently the Virginia Supreme Court agreed that it was unconstitutional under their state constitution and struck it down. Your question, does this apply in Montana? The quick answer is no. So in Montana, under our state constitution, we redistrict and redraw both our state legislative maps and our congressional maps every 10 years. We do it in the 4 number years,
So we did it in 24, and that's when we get the census numbers back. We do it in Montana via commission. We have, there's a four-member commission, two Democrats, two Republicans, and then under our state constitution, if they cannot agree on the maps, the Supreme Court gets to pick the fifth, quote-unquote, nonpartisan member to settle any disputes. The way that has functionally worked for the last 40 years is that the Democrats get to draw our maps. And that's just a fact. The state Supreme Court tends to pick typically a third liberal member. I can tell you the early maps for this last redistricting in 24, they were scary for a while because we got a second congressional district we hadn't had in a long time. Some of those maps were very creative, and they were very clearly gerrymandered to try to guarantee at least one guaranteed Democrat member of Congress. Luckily, that went away. The Western District is pretty competitive, right? I mean, that's not a lock for anybody. So, but to quickly answer your question, no, that's not going to affect us here in Montana. Our Constitution is set up differently.
Okay, let's get Sean on the line. Sean, good morning. You're on with our Attorney General, Austin Knutson. Go ahead. Hello, Sean.
Hello?
Yeah, Sean, you're on.
Hey,
how are you? You're on. Go ahead.
Well, thank you, sir. You know, I only have a few problems with some of the things that are being said because, you know, I've been here in Montana for a long time, and we used to be purple. We used to actually work along party lines. And anymore, it's just become what it is. My biggest problem right now is, let me put it this way. If Mr. Knutson may ask you, are you looking to run for a further seat in whatever you are? And I would like to ask that if you were voted to a certain seat, be it whatever, should you not fulfill your seat before you can run for another seat?
Okay. All right. Thanks for the call. Austin.
Well, there's a couple of things there, Sean. I'm not sure what you're asking me, like if we should change the law to require you to fulfill whatever office you're in's term before you can file for something else. If that's what you're getting at, I mean, that would require a statutory law change by the Montana legislature. Right now, it's not required. So for instance, somebody could theoretically run for a U.S. Senate seat while they're a sitting governor or while they're a sitting secretary of state or whatever. I mean, we have this going on right now, right? We have our current secretary of state who's filed to run for the Western U.S. congressional seat. She's not required to vacate her Secretary of State office while she's running to do that. That would require a state law change. So that's not really something in my authority. Am I going to run for something else? Boy, I get asked that about a dozen times a day. I'm not sure you're the guy that I'm going to spill the beans to on statewide radio. Look, it's unfortunately it's getting to be that time, and I would say we're kicking a few tires. I'm looking around, seeing what it might look like. I've certainly had some people ask me to run for some other things, and some of those things I've said no. I have zero interest in going to Washington, D.C., if that makes that any clearer for anybody. But, you know, who knows? This could all be done tomorrow. So I'm firmly of the belief that you make a plan and God laughs at you.
Well said. Let's get Dennis up next. Dennis, you're on with Austin Knutson. Go ahead.
Austin. I have a question if it would be possible for us common citizens to have some kind of site or access where we might be able to take pictures of people we believe that might be illegal aliens and help ICE or law enforcement people know where they're at, such as Whitefish or Missoula. It seems like the people that are in charge are fighting ICE all the time, but I'm a taxpayer. Those guys are using my money. So I think I have a right to take a picture and post it.
Is there a portal where that can be done, Austin?
You know, I'm not aware of one, Dennis. So that would have to be a federally run website. Under the U.S. Constitution, the federal government is in charge of carrying out federal immigration law enforcement. Now, under the 287G agreement, they can basically deputize the states to assist with that, and that's what my agency has done through the Montana Highway Patrol. And we would certainly be interested in tips, but we don't have any kind of website. I will tell you, ICE does not have a large presence in Montana. I mean, people get really spun up about an ICE facility and all these ICE agents in Montana. I think there's five. So, I mean, just so everyone understands what's going on here, ICE does not have a large footprint in Montana. I'm not aware of any mechanism that they have at the federal level to take picture submissions. And frankly, I gotta tell you, Dennis, just as a former prosecutor, I'm not sure that a photograph is going to stand up to due process is, you know, hey, I think this person's an illegal because they look a certain way. I think even a federal immigration judge is going to have a hard time with that. We're going to have more than that scintilla of evidence that we believe that person is here illegally. So the quick answer to your question is I'm not aware of anything where you can just submit a picture. I think we'd have to have more evidence than that.
And we are coming up against a break. And thanks for that good question and the answer. Tim and Skip are both standing by. As still a few minutes left, if you have a question for our Attorney General, our phone number is 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Back with more with Austin Knutson after this quick timeout. Hey, it's the Friday edition of Talk Back. Peter Christian here. Nick Christensen taking your phone calls, and we're privileged to have Montana's Attorney General Austin Knutson on the phone answering your questions. And Tim, you've been waiting the longest, so good morning. What's your question, please? Hello, Tim, are you there?
Sorry. Yeah, we're here. This is actually Janae, Tim's wife.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Go ahead.
And, good morning, AG Knutson. Thanks for taking our call. We have something we want to ask you regarding the right to try law. I believe Montana is a right to try state. We're facing, actually, Tim's facing an illness that he's getting towards life-threatening, and he's exhausting treatments. So we would like to find out, we're aware of an option that may be available that's catered to his genetics, specifically for a shot and a vaccine that's available. Provide us any information on the Right to Try Act? And for example, I guess we would need to find a doctor that would be able to administer a shot like that. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Yeah, it's a very important question, Austin, please.
That's a new one to me, Janae. First of all, thanks for the call and prayers to both of you. I know that the Montana legislature recently did adopt a right to try law. I will tell you, enforcement of that and any dealing with that does not go through the Montana Department of Justice. And I say that as a way of telling you, I really don't know much about it. Now, I am absolutely happy to help out and point you in the right direction. If you would reach out to my office, and I'll just give you my email address. You can reach out straight to me. It's austin.knutson@mt.gov. Pretty easy. Send me an email, and I'll at least try to find the answer and point you in the right direction. I don't know if that's at our State Department of Public Health and Human Services or if that's through some other agency at the governor's office. I honestly don't know, other than I know it is not housed anywhere inside of DOJ, which is what I'm in charge of. And I hate to say that to you, but I'm absolutely willing to help you find some answers here. So go ahead and send me an email, and we'll try to get you some answers as quickly as we can. And blessings to both of you, too, and certainly to your husband.
All right, let's get Skip on the line next. Skip, good morning. You're on Talk Back with Austin Knutson. Go ahead.
Thank you, Peter, and I hope you all have a wonderful weekend coming up. And Austin, thanks for coming on. And I almost forgot what my question was when I was listening to your answer to Jeff's question about redistricting. Thank you for a very complete educational answer to what's going to happen here in the state of Montana, what we have opportunities to do. And then I appreciated your answer to Sean, too. And then, by the way, just a relatively few of us that listen to this program, when you make a decision, would you please let us know first on this program about your future? But I wanted to ask you something that we covered many times, so we can stay on the progress of it, and having to do with the last legislative session. How is the shooting range doing, and what's the progress on that? Because some of us really were pulling for you to get that. Right. I'll leave it at that. Have a nice weekend.
Thanks for the call. We got about 2.5 minutes. Austin, please.
Okay, I'll be quick. Thanks, Skip. I appreciate the question. Yeah, so quick backstory for listeners. I'm in charge of the Montana Law Enforcement Academy. It's located just outside of Helena. Every officer in the state has to come through the Montana Law Enforcement Academy to work as a peace officer in Montana. We don't own a shooting range. That's pretty horrifying. We have to rent a range from the city of Helena. It's pretty ill-equipped for our needs. It's becoming more and more difficult to schedule. And plus, it's just not big enough. We have to deal with the weather, but also it's just too small. The legislature did fund, they gave us a $10 million appropriation to build a new indoor shooting range at the Montana Law Enforcement Academy. Desperately needed. I mean, this is not just a fun project. This is a necessity. The biggest liability we give to every county and city is that officer and the firearm on their hip. So it's incumbent on us to give them the best training we can. Where are we at, Skip? It's not moving very fast, but it is moving fast for state government. We are still going through the procurement process with state architecture and engineering. It's not as easy as just, picking the contractor that we want to use and having them build a building. We have to go through procurement. We have to go through bid process. We're actually trying to get authority to do a design build because this is such a specialized building, right? I can't just go hire Joe Contractor to come in and build a shooting range. These are very, very specialized buildings. They have to have, obviously, ballistic backstops. They have to have very, very good lead mitigation. That's not something that your average HVAC guy can just show up and do. So because it's so specialized, we're trying to get moved to the front of the line and do a design build, but it's still frustratingly slow, but credit to the governor's office and credit to architecture and engineering, they are moving as fast as they can.
Austin, so we are just about out of time. I just want to say thank you, as always, for spending an hour with us and talking to our listeners. We appreciate every moment. Thank you, sir.
Great to be on, and congrats for the statewide move, guys. It's great. Fantastic.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it, sir. Good to see you. All right, Mr. Nick, what's coming up on Monday's show, please?
From 8 to 9, we'll have the Montana World Affairs Council with Bob Seidenschwartz, and then from 9 to 10, Ryan Zinke, Congressman, will be with us taking your calls.
Fantastic. All right. Again, thanks so much, everybody. Have yourselves a great weekend, and we will see you Monday morning, bright and early at 8 o'clock on Talk Back. Have a great weekend.